Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
In the prior broadcasts, we studied the unruly tongue and its wicked manifestations. So in this broadcast, we're going to study a good tongue. And we're also going to see its various scriptural manifestations. In order to do justice to the topic, we'll do the broadcast today and tomorrow on this subject. And the first part, we'll talk about how our tongue is used for the Lord's benefit. And then in tomorrow's broadcast, we'll talk about how the tongue is used in our relationship with other people. So first of all, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50, we're talking about a good tongue, how to use your tongue appropriately. So Isaiah chapter 50, look at verse 4. This verse of scripture really is about the Lord Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry. The Bible says, "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned." Now, you know this is about the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know that it's about in the context of his earthly ministry, because when you go on and read verse 5 and verse 6, "The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting." When you keep on reading, you realize that took place, this plucking off the hair, the smiters, smiting his back and his cheeks where they plucked off his hair and his face where they spit on him. That all took place during the trial of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice what Isaiah wrote. The Lord, in verse 4, hath given me the tongue of the learned. So the first thing we want to notice then about a good tongue is that it should be a learned tongue, just like the Lord Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry. I know, because he's God manifest in the flesh, that you're wondering, what is it that he needed to learn? But Hebrews tells us that he did learn some things. As a matter of fact, he learned some of these things through the things that he suffered, which is remarkable when you think about it. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, Hebrews 5:8 says. Remarkable. Well, you know, it didn't just pertain to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, this learned tongue did not just pertain to what he was able to learn in his fellowship with his Father each morning when he came before his Father and learned. But those things that he learned, he also communicated to his disciples. And according to the scholars of their day, the disciples were not scholars. The disciples were ignorant and unlearned men. Turn to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. When John and Peter and the apostles were, as we say, called on the carpet for preaching Jesus Christ, you see, what the problem was is they were getting a following just like Jesus Christ had, and the Pharisees thought they had stopped the movement when they killed Jesus Christ. They didn't. They didn't, because the movement was the movement of the Holy Spirit, and the movement was the movement of the Word of God, and these just happened to be the messengers. Now, when they asked Peter what happened when a crippled man got healed and then people's lives began to change and all this commotion is going on, he started preaching Jesus Christ. And in verse 13 of Acts chapter 4, When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived, watch it, that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. That really frustrates Pharisees and scribes and elders and chief priests and scholars when they can't say a word against something that God has done with unlearned and ignorant men. Now, in fact, these men were unlearned in that they had not studied in the same schools that the scholars had studied, but they were learned in that they had spent time with Jesus Christ. That's where they went to school. That's what Acts chapter 4, verse 13 says. So because they had been with Jesus, they were learned in the same way that Jesus learned by having fellowship with his Father every morning. Do you know something? You can learn the same way. And you should learn the same way. In other words, if you want to be able to be used by the Lord to say something on his behalf to somebody else at some point, something that they need, something that has come from God, then you need to spend time with Jesus in his word. You don't need to be a scholar to be learned. Look what Jesus Christ said in Luke chapter 10. He said this in verse 21, Luke chapter 10 and verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. You see, it may be a disadvantage to be too educated, because as Jesus said, thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. These men were well educated. They were wise. They were prudent. But they couldn't get the truths that Jesus Christ was preaching because God had hid them from them. Jesus goes on to say in verse 21, and hast revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. So you can come to the Lord as a babe. Indeed, you and I can, because we're children of God. We're children of the resurrection. We are sons of God by the new birth. We come to him and we say, listen, God, like you taught your son and gave him a learned tongue, and just like he was able to teach the apostles and you gave them learned tongues, I'm going to come to your words as a child. I'm going to receive, since I've received salvation like a child by faith, I'm going to receive these words by faith and ask you to make my tongue a learned tongue. The fact is, you just need to know God and you need to know his words. And when you learn from the Lord, because after all, the Holy Spirit is the teacher, is he not? And Jesus Christ said, look, I'm going to leave, but when I leave, I'm going to send you the Comforter. And what's he going to do in John 14, 26? You know what the Comforter is going to do in John 14, 26? The Spirit of truth. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So you have a teacher in the Holy Spirit. If you'll humble yourself and believe what God wrote and receive it, he'll give you a learned tongue. And when he gives you a learned tongue, the beautiful thing is then he can use you in any circumstance to say what he wants you to say. The preparation of the heart and man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. He'll give you what you need to say at the time you need to say it, because you'll have a tongue that is learned. Look in 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. The Bible says, if any man speak, now we're talking about a tongue, a good tongue now. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. The oracles of God, those were written in your Bible. What you have in the Bible, these words, those are the oracles of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. Why, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In other words, we're talking about how to use your tongue in a way that is pleasing and glorifying to God. Right there. You just read it. 1 Peter chapter 4, 11. When you speak as the oracles of God, God is glorified through Jesus Christ. You see, the distinguishing characteristic of Jesus Christ when he was here on the earth teaching is that he spoke as one having authority and not as the scribes. Well, when you see what he said, he's speaking as the oracles of God. And if you'll do the same thing, you'll be speaking with a learned tongue. And indeed, that's what you should be doing, because far too many people just speak conjecture. They just speak from their own opinion. They just speak to argue. They just speak apologetically to win the debate. We're not interested in any of that. We're interested in having a learned tongue that when we speak as Jesus Christ would have spoken had he been standing here himself to answer the question, that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. And you do that with a learned tongue. That's really good. That is a good tongue. In addition, then, we ought to have a righteous tongue. Psalm 35. Psalm 35. A righteous tongue. Psalm 35. You know, the Bible is a fabulous book. So many great topics, one of which we're studying today. Psalm 35, look at verse 28. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise. How long? All the day long. My tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. What does your tongue speak of? We ought to be in a place and in a way where we are speaking God's righteousness and his praise all the day long. I was just talking to, yesterday as a matter of fact, one of our men in our church, and he said he is on a crew, and he was able this past weekend to work with another member of the company on his crew, not a guy that's ordinarily with him. And they spent the entire time as they were working, were talking and working, talking about the righteousness of God, talking about the words of God. And one man said to the other, you know, this is a marvelous thing that's taking place today, because as we're speaking to each other about the things of God, these other men on the crew are hearing us speak about the righteousness of God. And there's no way that they can hear what we're saying without God using that to some beneficial effect sometime down the road. My tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and thy praise all the day long. You make sure, and I should make sure as well, that when we're talking, it's not all just about our job and our favorite recreation and our favorite food and our favorite team and other things like that. Our tongues ought to be about the things concerning the Lord God. Look in Psalm 71 and verse 24. Psalm 71 and verse 24, my tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness. Look, again, here it is. All the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. He said, I'm going to speak of your righteousness. We see it again in Psalm 119, verse 172. I think you get the message. You and I should speak of things concerning the righteousness of God. When we do, when we speak of the righteousness of God, you know the neat thing? You can be sure, and I can be sure, that the things we're speaking are right and true. So often people will say something, and they're not absolutely sure about the details. I'm not sure if what I'm telling you is exactly right, they'll say. But something like this happened. You know, it reminds me of the two messengers that went to David to tell him that Absalom had been killed, Ahimaaz and Cushai. Cushai was the one that was sent by Joab to deliver the message, but Ahimaaz just couldn't wait for the opportunity to tell the king, and so he outran Cushai, got there to tell the king what had happened, and he could not report. He said, well, I saw this and I heard some commotion and all that, but I don't really know. I can't really tell you about Absalom. See, and that was the king's only concern. So we're very much like that. But you know something, when you speak the righteousness of God from the oracles of God with a learned tongue, you're right, and you're speaking truly. And honestly, there is so much conjecture. We just live in a society today where what happens is the news that is reported is instantaneous. In other words, within minutes of something happening, you're already getting a news bulletin. But generally speaking, all they can tell you is something bad happened. I think this location, I think it involves this or that. I think this many people are affected. And so they just get there right away and they start telling you it's all incomplete. It's all emotional, generally. It involves a few pictures and details that are very obscure. And so what then happens is a few more details start coming forth from sources around the story. The numbers change. The events change. The circumstances change. The perpetrators change because now they're getting more facts. And truly, by the time they have sorted out all the details, people are bored to death with the story and they're already going to something else. And you never really did get the story. You know what? They weren't right and they weren't true. They might have been close, but that's as good as they could do. And so when you get used to hearing that kind of thing reported day in and day out, you get used to people just sort of being close when it comes to things of God and just sort of being close when it comes to the things of the Bible. And they're more prone to emotion than they are to truth and righteousness. And David said, I'm not going to talk like that. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. Say things that bring praise and honor to the Lord for his righteousness. And don't be concerned how the people that might hear you speak of his righteousness receive what you say. It's not how they judge what you say. It's how God judges what you say that matters. And you know for a fact that when you speak of God's righteousness and you speak of God's truth, you're right. And don't be afraid to be right. And don't be ashamed to be right. God is right. God is righteous. His words are true. Speak that, a righteous tongue. When you speak, you make sure what you say is right. And you make sure what you say is true. And if you'll say the things that belong to God, you'll be right and true every time. Amen. Amen. We're talking about a good tongue today. A good tongue is a learned tongue, like Jesus had in Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. A good tongue is a righteous tongue, like David said, my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. How about this one? Psalm 66, verse 17. Psalm 66, verse 17. How about a praying tongue? Oh, that's a good one. A praying tongue. Here's the psalm, Psalm 66. Here's the verse, verse 17. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. A praying tongue. The Lord absolutely delights in the prayer of his saints. He really does. And he looks forward to that communion when you and I come to him in prayer. Otherwise, you wouldn't be reading things like Luke chapter 18, verse 1, where Jesus Christ spoke a parable. And you know what the object of the parable was this. Men ought always to pray, and not to faint. Paul said, pray without ceasing. That's what he said. Well, you know, if God didn't like to hear the prayers of his saints, well, you surely wouldn't want to be praying without ceasing. At some point, God would say, I don't want to hear this anymore, but that's not true. He delights in our prayers. So you know something, you and I can get more done by praying than we can by saying, because God can do more than you can do, and God can do more than I can do. It has amazed me lately. We still have a Wednesday night prayer meeting. That I know that's out of vogue for a lot of churches these days. They don't meet midweek. And it's not that they've totally gotten rid of prayer. People are certainly praying individually at home. And there are small groups sometimes that get together. And they have a little study in the small group, in a house, kind of a cell group, and they take a little time to pray. But the people that I've talked to that are in those small groups meeting in people's homes have told me that those things started out with more lessons, more teaching, and more time in praying, but they have degenerated over time into more social affairs, more about the eating, more about the fellowship, less about the prayer. And I believe that. Because it's not a very structured environment, and it's not that people don't pray in other people's homes. When Peter was in jail, you noticed in the book of Acts, they were over there at John Mark's mother's house, at Rhoda's house, praying, and they prayed all night. But things are just typically more prone to go to the fellowship and the food than they are to prayer and fasting when you get people together in a small group in a home. So we haven't gotten rid of the prayer meeting, and I'm glad we haven't. Because when we get here, we'll take a time to praise the Lord about the things that God has done in our lives. It's good, and it does amaze me exactly how much God is involved, even the small details of our lives. And then we take time to sing, and then we take time to listen to what's going on with the missionaries. We take prayer requests, and we pray. And I literally am astounded at how many prayers are prayed that God is answering, and we are seeing the testimony of the answers to prayers continually. It's an amazing thing. I mean, we shouldn't be amazed because he said, where two of you agree as touching anything, I will do it. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. If you shall ask anything in my name, you know, if you ask the Father anything in my name, I will do it. You can get those kinds of promises, and you're like, it shouldn't surprise us that God is answering these prayers, but he does. So I'll tell you something. If you want a good tongue, make it a praying tongue. Spend a lot of time in prayer. You say, well, I don't have a lot of time. You have more time to pray than you think you do. You really do. Find a prayer partner. Pray with your spouse or pray with a friend at work. I love to pray with our staff. It's an amazing thing because we talk to the Lord. It's great to hear somebody else pray. Oftentimes, they think of things that escape your mind, but you're amen in what they're praying, and they sometimes put it in a way you didn't think to say it, and you're like, amen, I agree with that. I wish I'd have been smart enough to think of that myself, you know. And you're praying with somebody in that meeting, and God is listening to those prayers, and God is answering those prayers. That's a good tongue. You know what will happen? You'll find that the more you pray and God is listening, and the more that God is listening, he's answering, and the more God is answering, the more you want to pray. If you occupy that tongue with prayer, and you occupy that tongue with the oracles of God, and you occupy that tongue with praising God's righteousness, you're going to have a good tongue. But then that's not all. We'll look at one more thing, Psalm 126. Psalm 126, one more that we want to see here, verse 2, and that's the singing tongue. Psalm 126, verse 2. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Sing songs to the Lord. Those songs will cheer your heart. Those songs will please the Lord. And those songs will teach and admonish other people who hear you singing them. I'm amazed. You may have heard me say this before. I don't know. If you haven't, it's good to know what I'm going to say. And if you have, it's good to be reminded. For years, I have preached in nursing homes. We got another fellow in our staff. Our youth pastor is taking care of those responsibilities of late, and so I haven't been in a nursing home for a while. But having done that for years, one thing that really amazed me is that I could show up, and people would introduce themselves to me as if we had never met before, and I may have ministered to this person for 3, 4, or 5 years while they were in the nursing home. And the reason that they reintroduce themselves every time I'd show up is that their minds are feeble now, Alzheimer's or dementia. And so it was like getting reacquainted all over again. Nevertheless, when we started singing songs, they could, from memory, sing word for word every verse. of every hymn. And you ask yourself the question, how in the world, if they couldn't remember meeting you 2 weeks ago, how in the world, if they'll never remember your name, how in the world, when they don't even recognize some of their own loved ones who come to see them, how in the world do they remember the songs of the hymn book? And I'll tell you, that singing tongue is a permanent tongue. That's all I can say. It gets down in your heart and bypasses the feebleness of your mind and comes forth from your inner spirit, from your heart, in praise to God. I love the hymns. And I love the hymns because the hymn writers that wrote those hymns had usually gone through something very profound where they saw God's majesty and recorded in words and then to music what God had done so generations following could praise God for the very thing that He did when He manifested His glory in their lives. And what happens is we find parallel experiences in our own lives where those songs come back at precisely a time when they will help you through a temptation, when they will magnify God's glory when you're down, when they will give voice to your praise when you can't think of words to say. The singing tongue. Oh, you want to talk about a good tongue. I'm not personally into a lot of the modern stuff. I realize there's some good music that's being written these days. I don't mean to suggest that, but there's also some that has just gone into a genre that it seems so in conflict with God's nature that I can't get into that stuff, and so much of it doesn't even put the right words to it. It's more like a love song between lovers than it is a holy song between God and one of His children. Boy, I'll tell you, we find a song, though, that gives voice to that praise to God, that has the right words of a child of God praising God, the Lord God, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. Oh, my, 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 that's a song to sing and a song to memorize. So we've been talking about a good tongue today, and primarily we've been talking about a good tongue in its right relationship with God. And I'll tell you, we saw four things today. A good tongue is a learned tongue, like Jesus in Isaiah 50, verse 4. It's a righteous tongue, speaking of the righteousness of God. It is a praying tongue, bringing petitions before the Lord continually. It's a singing tongue, praising God and bringing great glory to Him for His majesty. Use that tongue, and your tongue will be a good tongue. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.